This call is being recorded.
Good morning. Thank you for calling Declare Victory. This is Valicita, who has joined us this morning.
Good morning, Valicita. It's Susie.
Good morning, Susie.
Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your names.
Deborah Evans.
Oh, good morning, Deborah Evans.
Good morning, Renee.
Good morning, Renee.
Praise the Lord and good morning. It's Lady Milan.
Good morning, Lady Milan.
Good morning, it's Carla.
Good morning, Carla. Is there anyone else that has joined us this morning?
Good morning. Carmen speaking.
Good morning, Carmen. And who else was that?
Miss D, good morning.
Good morning, Miss D.
Good morning, Miss Diane.
Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Wednesday.
Praise God.
Good morning, Victory family. It's Pam. I love you guys. Have a blessed day.
Good morning, Pam. Love you too. Thank you.
Yo, 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 yo. Eric, what's up, family?
Good morning, Brother E.
Hey, I'm right behind you. Yo, 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 yo. It's Mona.
I like that. Good morning,
I know,
Mona.
I like it to hear him say that. So I said, ooh, I'm coming right behind E. I get to say it. All right.
He bring that East Coast flavor, huh?
What's up? Good morning. This is Yvette.
Good morning, Yvette.
Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Yvonne.
Good Wednesday.
Oh, thank you. Same to you. Good morning. Thank you for calling Declare Victory. This is Valicita. Who else has joined us this morning?
Good morning, Sylvia.
Good morning, Sylvia.
Good morning. This is Kedra.
Good morning, Kedra.
Good morning. God bless you all.
Thank you. God bless you as well.
Good morning, this is Victoria.
Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for calling Declare Victory. This is Felicita. Who else has joined us this morning?
Good morning, Felicita. This is Sarah.
Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, hey, Dee
Dee. Good morning, Dee Dee.
Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Pastor Santos.
Good morning, Pastor Santos.
Good morning, it's Moni.
Good morning, Moni. Good morning, thank you for calling Declare Victory. This is Felicita. Is there anyone else that would like to say good morning? Good morning. Thank you for calling Declare Victory. This is Felicita. Who else has joined us this morning? Good morning. Thank you for calling Declare Victory. This is Felicita. Who else has joined us this morning?
Good morning. This is Catherine.
Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
Is there anyone else that would like to say good morning?
Good morning. This is Kristen.
Good morning, Kristen. Okay, at this time, I'm going to ask everyone to please place their phones on mute, and we'll go ahead and begin the hosting. Good morning, everyone. My name is Valuable Valicita, and I'm your hostess. Thank you for joining us here on Declare Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday starting at 6 a.m. Pacific time to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite a friend so they can be blessed as well. The theme for December is focus. Prepare to focus on the things of the Lord in a whole new way. As followers of Christ, we have to focus on what matters and remove all distractions. Be sure to tune in daily. You don't want to miss the teachings, stories, and lessons that the declarers are preparing as they hear from God for his people. We have one announcement. Today is the day that Declare Victory fasts for anything that you may be believing the Lord for. If you would like to join in, push back your plate or something that you spend a lot of time doing and offer this time to the Lord in prayer. We will be fasting all day until 5 p.m. when we will call back into the same phone number and have a quick closing prayer. There are no new prayer requests from the app. The order of the call is as follows. Declaration will be done by Moses. Praying and corporate praise will be done by Bernice. And then we'll go right into closing comments, which will be hosted by Moses. Again, I'll repeat the order. Declaration by Moses. Praying and corporate praise by Bernice, and then closing comments will be hosted by Moses. At this time, I ask that you please place your phones on mute until instructed to come off of mute. I now pass the call to Moses.
Thank you, Valicita. I appreciate you and appreciate you greeting and starting us off today. I just want to thank everybody for calling in. And before we get into everything and all that, I just want to just start out with prayer. Father, it is such an honor, and it is an honor to bring glory to you today, Lord. It is an honor to to bring your word to our community today. It is an honor to speak today. Lord, this day is set aside for you. Lord, this message, this time in our day for you. So be glorified, Lord. Be honored here today, Lord. You have power. You have authority over our conversation, over our minds, over our receptivity. Lord, and it is just worship, God. This is just our worship to you, that we would sacrifice this time in our morning to come together to talk about your gifting, God, that you've given to each one of us, that you're using through each one of us to accomplish the goal of expanding your kingdom. And I just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So this month, we are going to be talking about focus. And the theme of the month is focus. So what I wanted to talk about for the next, I think it's four Wednesdays we're doing, I wanted to talk about spiritual gifting. And we're going to be talking about, today we're going to be talking about prophecy. Next week, we're going to be talking about discernment of spirits. And the third week, we're going to be talking about healing. And in the fourth week, we're going to be doing activations. We're going to be doing a very practical stepping out in faith in our gifting. So today's focus being prophecy, what I want to talk to the three different, if you can visualize this, I want to speak to three different groups of people today. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking to on the very first level, and we're going to be breaking this down throughout today's session as we go on. The very first level of people, I want to challenge all three believers, all three structure believers in this gifting, in this office, to step out in something throughout this month. So at the very first level, if you've never prophesied before, if this is something that you are just curious to know about, probably like a new believer, then I want to challenge you to step out in that gift. We're talking maybe something very smaller, but still encouraging, still edifying, still building people up. The second level is for folks who can operate in the gift and prophecy. They know how to sit with somebody and just welcome the presence of the Lord and start to hear for a message for that person. And the third demographic that we're going to be challenging is people who are actually called to that office. And this is a little more rare. It's probably not going to be as common as the first two, but these are people who operate in the office of a prophet. And we're going to challenge these people to step out in a more complex manner. So we're going to be talking to people who've been in all three rungs of that ladder. And we're going to start out with essentially the whys, the hows, and what happens with spiritual gifting tonight. So this is something to me that is very, I don't think I started my walk with God with any knowledge of spiritual gifting. This is something that came to me just very like, kind of like street smarts. You just go through things, and then as you start to grow in scripture, you start to grow in your walk, you look back and you're like, oh wow, that's something that I experienced, that's something that happened to me along my walk. And I would say the first couple of times that I really started operating in prophecy were early on, and I didn't really know what was happening in my mind. And I started to understand the way that God can speak to people in their mind and where that revelation starts, where this spirit revelation, so to speak, how this process starts to unfold. And it's the same process. It might look differently the way it comes out because every person's unique. Every person, you can argue, is probably a prophetic element in and of themselves. The way that we speak, the way that we talk to people, the way that we interact, we're all very unique. So we're going to have different ways that we kind of showcase these giftings in our everyday life. And so for me, what would happen is I noticed that the more I started learning about God's love and the more I started understanding spiritual gifting and all of us operating as one body and edifying and building up each other, I started to notice that there was interactions that I would have when I was around people. I'm sorry, did everybody hear that? Are we good? Is there some feedback going on, I think? But so, you know, I would start to experience these, I don't know, I didn't know how to explain it. I kind of would just, you know, in short, I would just have a message for somebody. That's the only way I could say it. There's something I knew that I just had to tell somebody. And it felt like, it's just like this burden, like this kind of like, I just, I don't know, man, like I'm like pacing back and forth, like I'm in the, you know, in the cafe part of the church or like, you know, in the parking lot or something. I'm like, man, I really got to tell that person this. I really, you start to think about it. You kind of maybe get nervous a little bit, but you're seeing something for them. And I remember that being an element early on. I remember having this kind of like fear to talk to somebody, to like, I didn't know how to say what was on my heart for them. I didn't even know terminology. I didn't know if this was a normal thing. And as I progressed and as I started to learn more and read more, and the more you just interact in community, you're going to notice that gifting just comes out naturally because it's the way that we share God's love with each other. Gifting is the way we build each other up. It's the way we translate and transform scripture into practical communication with one another to push each other towards God in our journey. And that's the biggest thing to note, that I want to start with talking about not just what it looks like, what it feels like, what's going on in somebody's mind, but I want to talk about sort of the elements of why is this happen? Why do we do these things? What should be the overall outcome in these things? And why do we let this happen? Why do we do that? You know, when we have a message in our mind, why do we let that unfold? So I'll kind of talk about my own testimony for a little bit. Then I'm going to go into the love element, how everything comes back to love. Everything is tested against scripture. Then I'm going to talk about those three levels of gifting that I was kind of mentioning in the beginning. So the very first thing I want to talk about is love in scripture. And in my eyes and what I've seen, they are synonymous. They are absolutely synonymous. And everything will come back to love. Everything will be edifying. Everything will culminate into scripture. Everything that you speak to somebody will always be scripture. And what happens in that is you run this message, this revelation that's on your mind, that's on your heart for somebody, has to be passed through a filter. And the way I would explain that is you have the gift of teaching, for example. You have somebody whose gifting is teaching. They either teach at a Bible college or even somebody in a pastoral capacity who's teaching every Sunday morning. What's going to happen is they're going to teach, right? And so they're teaching, and we're running this teaching through, in our mind, we run it through these kind of filters, so to speak. And what happens is we listen to it and we're like, okay, well, okay, I know that verse and I understand that. And there's obviously elements for, there's the possibility of being incorrect, right? Or something. We always know to take it back to the Bible. We always know to take it back to what are the fruits going to be from this. So we sit there and we run this teaching through our theological filters and our scriptural filters, and we're breaking down the elements of this teaching, and we're saying, okay, well, you know, that's either a really good teaching or that's something that, you know, I probably actually just don't agree with. And I think we've all probably been there. I think throughout my life, there's been times where I've heard messages where I'm like, well, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but, you know, okay, I'll take it for what it's worth. But there's also times where I hear a teaching and I'm like, wow, that's just so like encouraging. I feel lifted up. I feel built up. I'm ready. It actually pushes me to wanting to spend more time with God, and it's really good. And we have to do that with prophecy as well. We have to take this, and we have to understand that this can be an infallible revelation from God, but we're fallible human beings who are capable of messing it up sometimes. But what we have to do, instead of throwing away teaching and saying, okay, you know, we're getting rid of all teaching because there was a bad teacher one time, what we're doing is we're going to say, okay, well, let's run this through scripture. Let's test this. And let's not take this word with contempt, but let's test it against scripture. And let's see what the fruit is of what this very message is. And that's why I say, when you're operating from a place of love, and you're understanding that what you're saying is you're not going to be introducing new theology, new doctrine, anything that's groundbreaking, that is counter to the Bible or extra biblical, then it will always culminate in love. And the fruits of the Spirit will always be a product and a result of this. So when you know, and the reason why I'm bringing all of this up and I'm not getting yet to the practical is because you have to understand why we prophesy today. You have to understand what is the point of that. it's not just to look cool. It's not just to be like, oh, wow, I knew that that person was having marital problems, and I feel really empowered right now that I would know something secret about their life. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the fact that God cares about reaching somebody about something that's deep within their heart that they might not even feel comfortable to necessarily ask for help with, but that God cares about, and he has to let them care about. There was one time where I remember being in a church setting, and there was another, I knew this lady, but I wasn't necessarily like friends with her. I didn't know about her. I couldn't even tell you her last name. And I remember being in this setting, and I remember just worshiping. And during worship, I look over at her, and I heard this voice, something inside of my mind tell me, in regards to her, I know what she's going through. Tell her that I know. And I was just so confused. I was just like, okay, well, what? You know what? And I was praying, and I had that feeling again. I'm, you know, pacing back around, and I'm like, what do you know? Who is? I mean, I'm praying, and I felt this peace come over me to tell her, he knows. And, you know, I just kind of was like, all right, well, you know, I'm learning about this, and this is still kind of new right now. I don't know what that means. That's kind of hard. That can mean anything. And, you know, she looked fine. She looked okay. She wasn't distressed or anything or crying during worship or anything. So I'm like, man, what if I'm wrong? What if that's way off the mark? What if she looks at me like I'm really weird? So I continued to pray on it. We go through the message. We go through everything. And I just continue to hear it in my spirit. He knows. He knows. So I'm battling. I'm having this internal conflict. And the reason why I'm illustrating this is if this is something you've never walked out in, but you can identify with that, it's natural to have that. It's natural to have that performance anxiety a little bit. But to know that the fruit of what you're doing is going to yield a stronger bond and relationship and leaning somebody on God's love and plan for them in the midst of whatever their season looks like, whatever it is. And so, you know, I talked to a leader who was actually a leader over her at that time in the ministry she served in. I said, hey, you know, I just wanted to, also real quick, if we could just have everybody check their phones and put it on mute if you're not on mute. Thank you. Appreciate that. I ran it through her leader. Okay. And this is one of the filters that you can run a prophetic word. And I'm going to talk about running prophetic words through leadership as well. But I ran it through her leader, and I said, hey, you know, and also at the time, I do have to share this, though. I do have to talk about healthy boundaries and some element. There's so much that prophecy entails. There's so many. I mean, you can teach a college course on this subject alone. So for 30 minutes, it's kind of hard to condense everything for one day. But I want to touch on the general stuff. I normally personally have a rule. I won't minister to a woman one-on-one. I will usually try to have it be in a group setting, or I will try to run it through or to a leader of either a ministry that she serves in or something like that. So that was one thing I did know. That was one thing I was very sure about. So I went, I talked to her leader. And also, just one more reminder, if you could put your phone on mute, please. We're getting a lot of background noise. Thank you. Appreciate it. And we, you know, I talked with her. We're discussing it. We're talking. And I said, you know, I just want to make sure she gets this message. I just feel that the Lord is telling her that he knows. He knows what she's going through right now. And that, you know, and out of nowhere, I just start getting this understanding of it. And her leader's looking at me and just saying, wow, that's pretty accurate. She's been talking about how she, you know, she feels abandoned, and she doesn't know if God's with her in this situation right now in this season. She's going through a very deep personal time with her family, and this is what I found out later after the fact, because she the leader who went and talked and had a history with an experience in the prophetic ministry went and talked to this young lady and said, hey, you know, we just received a message for you. There's somebody who during worship was praying for you, and they wanted to share this message with you. And that can happen in any number of ways. I've delivered prophetic messages through text, through phone call, through email, through through letters. I've written letters to people that I just felt the Lord putting on my heart, and you just mail out a letter. There's different ways that you can send the prophetic message, but it all comes back to the same thing. It's to encourage somebody using what we know in scripture to translate that for somebody's life. What is it? How do we adapt that for somebody's life? And that's where that gift steps in, to convey God's love to somebody as a mouthpiece. So what I want to talk about is, I want to talk about the three levels and where we all are at and where we step out into that. Now, and if you can visualize a tri-level, right? So almost like if you can picture the food pyramid, okay? And at the very top, you know, you see sweets, and in the middle is like it's like meat or fish or something like that. And then at the bottom is like all of the bread and rice and everything. So in this kind of triangle, imagine three levels to it, okay? Now on the bottom level, and I don't want you to misconstrue this. I don't want you to take it as anybody at any of these levels is any greater, any better. And we see that scripturally that, you know, is everybody, you know, this is, are some not pastors or some not this and that. Everybody has a different role to play. And we play this strategically. We play these roles and the consistency at which we operate in these gifts differently. Okay. So what I want you to visualize now at the base level of this is that the Holy Spirit works all in all. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. And this is all believers. And this is talking about all believers prophesying. This is scripturally knowing from, you know, if you're taking notes right now, Mark chapter 16, I'm talking Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Matt, you know, I'm going to list these online later. But this is that all should prophesy. Everybody is being encouraged to prophesy. Now, this is more sovereign. This is where we'll experience. Maybe some of you experienced what I did during that worship, during that service, maybe once every now and then. This might not be something that that happens very frequently, and it might be something that is about to start happening maybe a little bit more frequently, and this is what you need to know to step out into that in faith. Now, the second level, the medium level of this, is charisma gifts, okay? This is some believers. And this is in accordance with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is where somebody, if you've ever been to, I know that our church, we do at Gateway in the South Bay in San Jose, our main campus, we have prophetic breakout rooms once a month. And what happens is you have facilitators in there, and these facilitators, there'll be two or three of them, they will usually step out in prophecy, and they will, you know, they can just stand up there. They can go one by one, and they have the gift of prophecy. They can actively tap into this. They can actively just, you know, they can be, you know what? I just want to just talk with you about this and this season, you know, and they just really encourage you, and they really just help you walk into what God has for you and understanding that and in the context of your life. Okay. Now that's the middle level. That's where we're talking charisma gifts. Now, at the very top of this gifting, we're looking at doma gifts, and this is a few believers. And you see this in Ephesians 4, verses 10 through 12, and then in Romans 16, 26. The only reason why I'm not reading through all these verses right now is because we have a ton of information to go through. But like I said, I'm going to list these later for you to go back and follow the playback with these and check these out as we go. But what's going on with the doma gift is at the very top of this tri-level. This is where you're looking at a prophet. This is someone who operates in this. They go to sleep in this. They wake up in it. This is their life. This is where you would be talking about maybe a pastor, somebody with who operates in the office of a pastor, who operates in the office of an apostle. This is somebody who goes to sleep in this. They wake up. It is who they are all the time. That's who this is. So what we're going to talk about in the remainder of our time together, we don't have very much time together, we're going to talk about stepping out in each one of those, how to identify and know where you're at. When within those three, for today, for prophecy, we're going to talk about discernment of spirits next week. And then after that, we're going to be talking about healing. So on the very base level, you know, I remember being young, and I remember hearing this testimony of a lady that had gone to our church, and she was saying about how she started going to church. And she said that she had just, or how she helped somebody start to go to church is that she heard it was about a sweater and that somebody was sitting in church and they were praying and they were like, you know what, God, if you want me to be here, this is where you want me to be. I want somebody to tell me that I have a purple sweater on. And I was just talking, I was just using this story recently, but what it is she was not that she needed a sign, not that she was testing God, but in a moment of her needing encouragement, she cries out to God for this. And this lady I was speaking was saying, you know, she said she had felt compelled to tell this lady that she was wearing a purple sweater. She wasn't wearing a purple sweater at all. And she went up, she just praying and understanding, and you know, she just goes through and says this to her, and she just starts crying because she was in such a broken place in her life, being in church and wanting to expand her relationship with God and needing just some kind of answer. She goes and tells her this, and this lady starts crying. And it just kicks off this relationship with God and all these things. And it's not to say that every single thing that we do, we need to like put this fleece over it, right? But what it's saying is that sometimes us stepping out is really stepping in the gap for what God is trying to do in this person's life. And that's where I want to encourage you to begin to be open. Because what it looks like, for me at least, is you start to see in your mind, you start to just feel something. You start to hear, it's kind of, you know, it's hard to explain as an abstract concept, but what happens is you can get an image maybe, or maybe a word, and you get a scripture, or you get something that's just placed on your mind. And it's almost that place of your mind where you use your imagination, right? It's almost that place of your mind where you kind of daydream. It's the very creative part of your mind. It's the part of the mind where, you know, you might visualize something that you need to do next week. It's the part of your mind where you kind of visualize what your week's going to look like. And that very still place is where God places that revelation, that communication. When you're reading your Bible and you know, you're kind of meditating, and you know, God starts to put, well, this is what happened back to you, and back, you know, back in 97, this is what happened to you. And that place is where you receive that. And when you're open to that and you start to run it through the filters that we talked about, and you're comparing it, and you feel released, and you have this, you know, you obviously, there's a lot of structure that takes place, because some environments, some bodies of the church, there's a very specific process. So I would encourage you to get familiarized with the process that wherever your place of worship is, wherever your community is, get acquainted, get familiarized with what that process is like. And then once you have that, that's when you step out into that. And that's the most primary level. Okay, so if that's something that's where you feel that desire, you feel that curiosity about that, that's what we're going to be praying for today, for you to have opportunities to step out into that. The next level that we're going to be talking about, real quickly to go through these things, I know we got a couple minutes to wrap up here, but the next level is what we were talking about, charisma gifts. And now what this is actively operating in that gifting. Now, the biggest thing that I want to talk about today, there's a lot of things I wanted to cover today, but there's not enough time, is you know someone's voice, you're familiar with someone, the more you spend time with them. Like I've discussed this before, but like I could tell my wife's voice out of 50 people. That wouldn't be an issue for me. I've been hearing her voice for the last 10 years. You know, I know her voice. Okay, the same thing happens with us. With God, the more you spend time, the more that you get poured into, the more you pour out, okay? And you pour out and you pour out and you pour out, and then you go back to God and you get poured back into again, and you pour out. And we operate from that place of spending time in study and scripture and in prayer, because the more familiar you are with the Lord's voice, the easier it is for you to step out in your gifting, because you know God's voice from, oh, that was just my imagination, or that was, oh, that, you know, that wasn't from God. If you're having that issue, a lot of times that's because of a lack of communion time. So where this gift comes out of is, we know what it results in. We know what we have to run it through as filters. And that's even a whole lesson in and of itself, just filters that we run prophecy through. But where it comes out of, where it boils out from, is an intimacy with God, is communion with God, is spending time walking with God. And I'm not talking about habit. I'm not talking about, oh, well, you know what? It's 8 o'clock. I just got to set my alarm for this and spend time with God. I'm talking about the deep friendship that God desires to have with each one of us, the deep communion time, the getting on the boat and escaping the multitude to go spend time in prayer. From that place is where your gifting will grow to. That is the place that we operate from. Because if you don't operate in love, you're not, the gifting doesn't operate, period, right? But the vessel that carries that love is the communion time. The vessel that carries that message to somebody is your communion time with God. So the deeper that time is, that private time, that secret place, the deeper, the greater the revelation is. I've seen that direct correlation. I've seen God work sovereignly, obviously. God is great and his love for people cannot be stopped. But when we are truly responsibly cultivating our gifting, we're truly responsibly spending time with God daily. This is something that is just non-negotiable. You have to be in communion time to cultivate your gifting. Now, the third and final level that I'm going to close out with is going to be that top, that tri-level, right? Or that top level is the Doma gifts. And what we're going to be talking about is people who are in the office of a prophet. And the reason why I wanted to take this approach is because I knew how much time we had today, but also because I wanted to challenge everybody at every single level in which way to step out in their gifting, okay? And so with somebody who's operating in that office of a prophet, what's happening is, first, that process can take 20, 30 years to shape somebody in that. And I've seen people who operate in that office, but none of them look similar. None of them operate the same. None of them do the same thing. It's unique as it goes. But one thing that I want to challenge people who are more towards this and who actually operate in this office is, there's prophecy that isn't necessarily so point blank open, and it's not as in your face. So you get to the point where you can operate in the gifting, and you know, you might have started out prophesying sovereignly through with God operating sovereignly through you. And then you get to the point where you start cultivating your gifting, and then you receive a call in your life, and you're prayed over, and you know, there's just this cumulative agreement over your life where you're being identified, you're equipping people prophetically, because the one true mark of a prophet is somebody who equips somebody prophetically. And if you have to question whether you're equipping people prophetically, you're probably not a prophet. That's just the mathematics of it. So what happens in that is, with somebody who is at that level, what's going on is they're no longer going up to somebody saying, hey, thus saith the Lord, or I got a word of the Lord for you, or this and that, or for this. Or they live the prophetic unctions that they give to people. You begin to not only equip people in prophecy, but a prophetic person, a prophet very rarely will tell somebody that they're prophesying to them. They will speak testimony over them because they know that person needs to hear it. And this is not something that's just exclusive. The reason why I'm saying this is because we all have the ability to walk out in different manner, you know, different manners of the same gifting. And with somebody in that level, they're not going to tell you, hey, you know, I got a prophetic word for you. They're going to just see you, and God's going to reveal to them that you're struggling with A, B, C, or D. And they're going to go up to you, and they're going to start talking about, just out of nowhere, they're going to start talking to you about their testimony. Hey, I remember back in, you know, this year, this or that, I started going through this. And you're not going to know that you're being prophesied to, because it's no longer about being, it's not about acknowledging that, it's about planting a seed within people. So what I want to encourage people who have been prophesying for a long time, who know how to operate in that gifting, is there's always a battle. You know, that's why our dreams are, we have dreams, and that's why we have prophetic messages, is because there's a very real battle. And you see that in Daniel, where these messages from heaven are being opposed by the enemy. And that still happens very much today. And that's the entire point of us receiving revelation and messages and dream. It's almost like code talk during a war. You know, we have these messages that are kind of detailed in ways that we can understand for the sake of preserving what God's message is to us. So there's like this compromise that tries to take place in our life sometimes. And this happens in various different ways. So the third level of encouragement, what I would say, is stepping out in a way where you're planting a seed in somebody by the way you live next to them, by the way that you encounter them, by the way that you meet them. Meet them in a way where your entire demeanor is a prophetic message to them. Your speech, your manner of speaking, you're speaking life into them over a certain area because you know in your heart that God gave you a message that they're battling with depression. So you don't go up to them and say, you know what, hey, I just feel that you're going through this, you're going through that. God is using you to not just speak that one moment and they forget it a week later, but to continually, every time you see them, to speak life over them. And I would challenge you to go to that level. Go to that place to where when you talk to somebody, you're talking to them in a way that you're not just speaking regularly to them, you're speaking prophecy to them. Every time that you encounter them, you're talking about a testimony that they need to hear to get through what they're going through. And they didn't even tell you what was wrong. God told you what was wrong, and you met them where they're at by the way you're speaking. And the reason why I wanted to lead up to that is because all prophecy culminates in that. It culminates into encouraging, edifying, and building each other up. And it should be, like I said, in a quick recap, it should never go against Scripture. Nothing you tell somebody should go against Scripture. It should always, always adhere to the structures, the standards that are set in any community that you belong to. We all belong to a bunch of different churches, and it's a kind of a myriad of different environments that we're ministering into. So there's always that too. But at the core, at the heart of it, as in a general 30-minute kind of explanation, what we're talking about here is culminating in love, cultivating a culture of love that's grounded in discipline, that's grounded in scriptural filter, that's used to encourage one another. So I want to thank you guys for hanging around. I'm excited for the love, life, and victory portion. I know that there's so much more that's going to be said by everybody else that I couldn't even touch on today, and I'm excited for that. I actually am happy that there's so much more headroom for this subject so everybody else can step in because it's too much for one person to tackle. So I encourage you, if you have experience in this gifting, if there's an area that you are gifted in, if you have any nuggets to give out today, I highly encourage you to stick around for the love, life, and victory. And I know that you're going to be blessed by what everybody has to kind of add to this. And I know this is going to be a informational potluck, and I know you're going to be blessed by it. So thank you for listening today as I now pass the call.
Father, in the name of Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we have come to establish our legal right, and we take dominion and declare victory over every area that you have given to us. Father, forgive us for anything that had not lined up with your word. Allow us to see sin in your eyes. Allow us to acknowledge our wrongs to the point we wake up from the sleep that we're in. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. For this is the day that you have made, Father. We rejoice and are glad. Make our prayers holy and acceptable unto you. Unblock the clutter in our minds so that we may hear from you clearly. Let grace and mercy prevail over us, and thank you, Lord. We declare victory in the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus, Father of light, Father of life. Father in heaven, as we enter into your gates with thanksgiving, we are humbled and acknowledge that you are with us, that your presence surrounds us. Bless the entire family here on the line, specifically those, oh Father God, who have come to you today, who are here today to hear your word, to seek your face, to have and to be a sacrifice for whatever you would have them be that for and to whom. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Together we are praying for the anointing that comes with this assignment of intercessory prayer. Sanctify this place, this house of prayer. We thank you, Father, for what you will do and how you will confirm your word with signs and wonders. We come today with petitions and requests, knowing that anything we agree upon as touching, you will surely do, and we thank you for it. Spirit of the living God, anoint me to pray your will, your word. Speak through me and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Father. By the shed blood of Jesus, we thank you for your touch, your word, your miracles. We rejoice in your healing power for all of us, but we declare victory in every area of our life. Father of light, we thank you for today's declaration presented by Moses, who talked about focusing on the gifts of prophecy, O God, his understanding and revelation and how it unfolds, understanding spiritual gifting and how we build each other up. And for this, I thank you, O Father. Your word says that whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them, Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. We thank you, Father, for your word that tells us that any man who lacks wisdom, he is to ask of you, and wisdom shall be granted liberally. We thank you, O Father God, for your word today on prophecy, O God, and how to properly use it. You will reveal what it is we ask, and we thank you, and we believe you. We ask you for wisdom and revelation and understanding. Show us what you would have for us to do, how for us to begin doing, what we should stop doing and continue to do in order to step up in you. Grant us spiritual gifts as your spirit wills and the grace to obey you. Give us the grace to obey you. Thank you for your mercy and grace that is endless. God, we just are so honored to have you, Father, in our lives. You ask us in your word to come boldly to your throne. Thank you for this privilege. By faith, we thank you that even now as we focus in you, that you are revealing to us the steps to access and to walk into prophecy. Father, thank you for your glory that rests upon us. It is your word, Father God, that we love. It is you that we love. Help us, O Father God, to understand and to know. Holy Spirit, show us how to go out and to witness your love through prophecy. I thank you, O Father God, that we are focused in everything that we do. Now, as we take our phones off mute, we begin to praise God and thank him for all that he has done for us. Elohim,
hallelujah,
Creator, mighty
hallelujah,
and strong.
Hallelujah.
We humble
you,
ourselves
God.
And we ask
bless
for your
name,
spirit
Jesus.
To
bless
us.
Lord, I thank you this
we
morning, God.
Send them out
Lord,
to
Lord,
you
Lord,
help
you
us.
Us.
Help
how
us
you
see
us.
Lord,
build
God.
Us
Lord,
God.
Lord,
build us up, Lord Jesus. Lord, build us up, Lord Jesus. Speak to us, Lord Jesus. But I pray that I'm able to commune more with you, God.
We thank you,
Lord Jesus. You, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. It's so rich, God. Every instruction for my life, God, is with you, Jesus. So bless your name this morning, God. I bless your name and hallelujah. Praise your name. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless your name, God. Hallelujah. I ask you right now to come into this place. Come into this place.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless your name, Lord. Turn your walk
life right now in the name of Jesus. Turn my whole of my life over to you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your comfort and your protection. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for these questions. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
And Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor for the gift that we have. Thank you for the knowledge that these people have to show up our directions and take us into the proper direction of lives. We thank you for our Lord today. And God, I give us courage to use them, humility, not to use them for our glory, but for you and your glory. Help us to see the good work you have
that is assigned in this. They have been in the proper position. You are worthy of praise, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Father God, we thank you that we are taking away a great promise that you have promised us even from birth. You said you knew us and you warned us. Those that are on the line, those that are prophets, those that are apostles, those that are teachers, oh God, on today, we will thank you right now.
You are great.
God, hallelujah. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, thank you for the proper training, oh God. Thank you.
Thank you for the battle of intercession and the power that rests upon us, O Father. Thank you, O Father God, that our minds and our hearts are clear. Dress us today,
O Father, with your word that will saturate the ears of us. Thank you, Lord, for the watchmen that are on the wall. Thank you for those that have been called to their positions and they're taking the full authority. We give you praise, glory, and honor. And we bless your name on today, God. Thank you.
Father, we thank you for whispering your unconditional love deep into our souls, reminding us that your mercies are new every morning. I pass the call.
Thank you. So just a quick reminder before we go forward, just if everybody after praise and worship, if you could just check your phones to just make sure everybody's back on mute while you know, everybody has a chance to speak and share. And I just wanted to just kind of relate everything back and kind of recap if you called in late. And the theme of this month is focus, and we're going to be talking about the spiritual giftings and how we put a focus on that and how we focus in on that. And that's definitely... It's definitely tough. Even coming from this past week, I see personally in my own personal life, it has been a rough week, you know, and it's one of those weeks where it just gets rougher, you know, and in the midst of that, what I've had to learn is I don't ever really, you know, you never really get a chance to make an excuse when God is using you to minister to people who are going through things while you're going through things. And the one thing I want to encourage everybody with as you walk forward in this gifting is, you know, there's going to be days where it's easier to, if we're talking about prophecy today, there's going to be days where it's easier to encourage somebody than others. And there's going to be days where you can build up somebody and you feel on top of the world and it is so easy. You're just hearing and you're getting things. And then there's going to be days where you just don't. But we still have that obligation to continually spread God's love through the words that we use to speak into other people's life. They're so powerful. And throughout this month, you're going to hear me reference this verse in 2 Kings a lot. Probably every session I'm going to reference this a lot, more so next week. I'm going to be talking about discernment of spirits next week. But it's in 2 Kings chapter 6, 17 through 20, and you've probably heard it before. But if not, it says, and Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down and toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, and Elisha, as Elisha had asked. So the point of this being, the reason why I say all that is, There is a very, very real spiritual realm and element to our very practical and pragmatic plane that we're operating on every day. And to understand the spiritual gifting is to understand what you're truly working against. And we all know that. I'm sorry. And we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. This is not attacks and daily things and progress that we can see with our eyes. This is something where we have to be operating in the spirit. We have to be speaking to each other on a spiritual level through prophecy. We have to be understanding and seeing the real root cause of our situations with discernment and in our discernment in everyday situations to the spiritual elements that are affecting these. And the reason why I'm so, I'm sorry, the reason why I wanted to focus in on this and talk about this this month for Focus is because we're fighting a very real spiritual battle that requires us to be sharp spiritually, to us to be on top of our game with this. And it is hard. There is a lot of times where it just gets hard. It gets tough, but you have to continue to power through. You have to remember and understand your purpose, who God created you to be, and understand that there's people who need to be, there's people who have to be edified and equipped just as well to be successful in their situations. And it comes back to us. The responsibility comes back to us. So I want to thank everybody for listening in earlier. I want to open this time. If you want to just share maybe a moment where you've had a prophetic word for somebody, you've operated in prophecy for 20 years, you want to give out some pointers and you want to talk about something, I highly encourage you to just share whatever God's putting on your heart right now. So I'm going to go ahead and open the call and thank you to everybody and just in advance too. So we're now open. Go for it.
Hey, Brother Moses, this is Juliet.
Hello.
Hi. I was just thinking about what you were saying as far as, you know, prophetic moments. I've only had I've had two things that happened. One is where I've had, like, a vision, twice I had a vision to where I saw something, and when I actually went to that particular place, it was my friend was in trouble, and she was on a place of repentance, and I had saw her like in this window praying, and she had lost, but she had shaved her hair off, and she was at this house, and I had never been in that house before. So when she called me to come over to this place, so when I went over there, the room that she was in was the exact picture of what I saw in my vision. I know it wasn't a dream because I could still, my eyes were closed, I could still hear, you know, I was just resting my eyes, but I could still hear what was going on in the house. It was just like it was a flash, and then it was gone. And then the second time I had something like that was when Eric, my husband, was coming, and we were meeting for the first time. God showed me something. And as soon as I saw him, it was exactly what I saw. So those are times I've had visions. And then I also have had situations where the spirit will come up on me about telling somebody something, and I'm like, what? You know, I have had that, and I've, you know, been obedient, but it has been scary because
much of that is,
I was second guessing.
Yeah. Thank you.
I was second guessing, you know, if that was, like you were saying, the second guess, where I was kind of second guessing with him, but, you know, that's, I had told him something like that, or, you know.
I like those butterfly seat covers. That's cute. Oh, those are cute.
Their phone, please.
Juliet, hold on a second, Juliet. Can I get everyone to check their phones right now? Because we can hear you talking. We can hear somebody talking. Can we just get everyone check their phones right now before we proceed? Thank you. Go ahead, Juliet.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I've just had little windows. Basically, I'm saying I have little windows of, you know, areas of gift, you know, of gifts, what some of the things we spoke about. But these have been in spurts. It has been something like, you know, like, things I was talking about happened a couple of years ago. But I've had prophetic dreams that I'm still seeing even right now being slowly fulfilled. So, but I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, I'm glad you said that, Brother Moses, because as far as what you were saying, as sometimes you feel, or, you know, sometimes you're walking in it, sometimes you feel like you're not. That's where I'm at right now, you know. I don't know what that's about, but I was just kind of like answering your question. I hope I'm making sense.
Yeah, no, I absolutely can relate. I think when it started for me, I was, I want to say the very first time I experienced it, the very first time that I experienced it, I remember being really, really young. I want to say probably in, I think it was in third grade, and we grew up, I grew up Catholic. I was for probably the first, I went to catechism and confirmation and all that. As funny as it is, I actually experienced my first kind of, I didn't really know how to explain it at the time as a child, but similar to what you're describing, and probably around third grade at church, at catechism, and just continuously throughout life. And you know, next week I'm going to go into more detail. So next week I'm going to be talking about discernment of spirits. And that's the area that I operate in personally. That's the gifting that I have. So I look at discernment of spirits, and I, as kind of the same way. And I have, you know, a ton of stories about that. But as far as prophecy and prophetic and you know, having dreams and then you see that stuff happen. I didn't have any explanation for that. And I think what was hard for me is that, you know, really from what I gather from what you're saying is that, you know, the reason why I use the teaching analogy is I have noticed that there's not as much information out there. There's books and there's teachings out there, but it's not as common as other subjects. And I wanted to just really take this time to encourage people to step out and to just share that gifting and to just genuinely step out in the confidence of if you could. Everybody could just take a moment to just check their phone to put it on mute. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh at that. I just today is an interesting day. I can't stop coughing. Like everything. I just. But you know, back to the subject. I'm not trying to get distracted here. But yeah, I wanted to encourage people in their experiences in this because it's a very biblical, very sound, a very encouraging and very powerful element of our walk. And I wanted people to step out into faith. And later when I close out, we are going to pray for that. But I wanted to just give practical application and steps for stepping out in that gifting and knowing that you can have the confidence and the faith to step out in this gifting in a very practical element. And it's something that we need for vision, for our church, for our communities, for our families. And yeah, I think it's something to not shy away from, but to really hold diligently against scripture. So I know that feeling, but like I said, what I look at it as is this something it's something that always pushes me back to prayer. It's something that always pushes me back to spending time with God. Whatever I see, whatever I dream of something or have that, I just if everybody could just take a moment to check your phone, to just put it on mute. We're getting a lot of background noise today, so thank you. I appreciate that in advance too, because we're hearing a lot of noise right now.
Good morning, Brother Moses. Good morning, family.
Thank you.
Pam.
I want to go after Pam too, Moses, before it gets more distraction on the line. This is Dee Dee.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Go ahead, Pam.
Okay. Oh, good. It got silent. Awesome. I always struggle with trying to understand, and we can take it offline if it's going to take too much time, but understanding the difference between the gift of discernment versus the gift of prophecy. Because I keep having, whenever I go study, pray on it, and like I keep feeling I'm walking in the gift of discernment versus prophecy. Can you talk a little, or if you have time, talk about what are the differences between those two? Or we can take it offline.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think this is a huge thing, and I think it's a great segue to to next week. Excuse me. It's a great segue into next week. So here's where a lot of folks will kind of draw this line. A lot of it is in verbiage, and a lot of it is in the format. And this is something actually I found myself wondering a very similar thing. So with discernment of spirits, a lot of times you'll hear somebody say, they'll preface what they are about to say with, "I saw." And a lot of times with prophecy, what it's prefaced with is this word. It's like I can't say literature, but I would say that. Sorry, I'm trying to go on mute when I cough and then come back off. But, you know, it's one of these things where you have to, it's the manner in which the revelation is received. And everybody's different. Everybody conveys messages differently. But I think they're both very, very closely tied. Because usually, so for example, not to get into too much discernment before next week, but the way that it works for me is I will walk into, so for example, if I walk in somewhere and I just start feeling, just as an example, I just start feeling a lot of anxiety. I'll start to pray and I'll start to think, where is this coming from? Where is this happening? I'll start a dialogue. I'll start this inner dialogue with the Holy Spirit. And I just start praying. And I will start to just let him direct my heart to where is this coming from? Is this coming from, I know that it's not me. Is this coming from maybe the establishment that I'm at? Is somebody maybe struggling with this, battling with this? And what happens is from there, I let the Holy Spirit lead me into conversation. And then I start talking to somebody and they start kind of opening up. And then next thing you know, they start telling me, "Oh, hey, well, you know, I'm battling with, you know, the anxiety and depression and all these things." And then it's like, boom, that's when the light starts going off. I'm like, "Hey, can I pray for you?" You know, and that's where I start to, you know, you start that dialogue where you start to, you know, let be spirit led, as in, okay, you know, and you start claiming truth over them and start praying over somebody and start declaring. That is how I've operated in discernment, as well as actually seeing things. So it's twofold. That's one element to it. The second element of discernment for me is I will look at somebody or a situation or a place, and I'll see kind of like a superimposed, like, you know, it's hard to explain, but if you've seen, you're watching a movie and maybe some of those old 70s, 80s, like really bad graphics where they superimpose something over an already existing background or environment, it's not really as prominent as what the environment is, but you can vaguely see it. It might be a little transparent. You might be able to see through it, but it's superimposed over it. The way I operate in discernment of spirits is very similar to that, and I will be able to see certain things. So, for example, and this is one I'll repeat later on, I remember praying for somebody one time, and I, in the spirit, just saw a sword coming out of their heart, a long sword, and I saw that person's parents on the other end of that sword. And they were, and I'm going to go into this story in a lot more detail next week, but the other hand of that sword was that person's parents. And there was words that were written on the sword, and the words were unforgiveness, guilt, and a couple other words like that, that were related to that. So I started a dialogue with that person. I asked them, "Hey, I knew that that person, praying for them, I knew that they had heart problems, actually. And I was praying for healing for them, and I had asked them, did something happen in your childhood where you felt unforgiveness towards your mom for something?" And that's when, you know, he started crying and started opening up to me that he was abused as a child, and that his mom knew and didn't do anything about it. He felt unforgiveness towards her. He didn't want to forgive her for letting him be abused and not doing anything about it. And that's how my discernment works. And that's like a, that is a normal situation for me. That is a everyday situation for me with discernment spirits. Prophecy now on the opposite end of that is, well, this is what happens when I have a prophetic message for somebody, when, and the times that I operate in prophecy, is I will hear somebody speaking or hear somebody talking. What I get is I get a form of encouragement for them. I get something for them where I know that it needs to be spoken over their life. So for example, I had a, and for me, this is where I think I see where the line can be blurry sometimes, is because I've used this story before that I've gone through. I was in a fast food drive-thru and I looked at the young man that was handing me my food, and I saw a flash from him at school. And he was at a design school and he was doing design work. And what happened was he went to go grab the bag from the food prep team or wherever. And I started praying real quick and I started asking God, okay, is this a word for right now, Lord? Do I give him this message? Do I go pray on this for him in private time and just intercede for him? And I was like, what does that mean? Why did you show me that? And I just start getting all this download. He wants to quit school. There's money issues with it. He's not believing this, but this is his passion. This is where he needs to be. This is where I've ordained a path for him in this career field. This is where he's fulfilling the desires of his heart. I want him to be in this career field. This is where he's going to honor me with his creativity, with his gifting. And I got all of it in a split second. I received it. And I when he came back, I was like, hey, do you do animation? Do you go to school for animation and digital design? And he just looked stunned at me, and he was like, yes, I do, which is probably kind of, you know, shocking for somebody like that in that scenario. And I said, you got to stick with it. I was like, I know it gets hard sometimes, and you're going to want to quit, and, you know, it just gets tough, and you want to just leave. I was like, I dropped out of college. I know what it feels like to quit. And I quit. I just told him, I was like, I dropped out of college, you know, with 6 classes left. I understand. But you got to stick through it because you're going to be happy in that path. And the one thing that matters in this life is doing what you were created to do. And his eyes started watering. He started smiling. And I just took my food and I just told him, I was like, you know, God bless you, and you have a good day. And just encouraging that person. That was a prophetic word. I gave him a prophetic word. It was a messaging of encouragement used to put somebody closer to that path that God has ordained for their life, to build them up in identity, to remind them who God created them to be. And it's a living word, you know. So the way you get that revelation could be different, though. I've just got a verse for somebody, and I had to pray
on
that verse.
That second scenario, you would say, is more of a prophetic.
Yeah, absolutely, because that one was more so of me. Like, so there's, it's like I said, it's a,
because that
very
sounds like
line.
Me. Yeah, that second part sounds like me, and I always was like, yeah, that's interesting.
So yeah, like I said, I'm gonna paint more of a clear picture next week of discernment of spirits, and I believe that is very closely tied with intercession. I believe discernment of spirits is very closely tied with intercession, with prayer. There's a lot of times where I will go stay somewhere, either in a community or a hotel or something, and I'll receive in my spirit a spiritual climate of that area of what to be praying for, specifically for like crime or certain things, or there's certain stuff going on. I do that for churches also as well, that where I do spiritual, like watchmen type stuff, and I do ministries like that. So what it is it's more so a strategy, whereas prophetic stuff is more so like there's a lot of individual stuff. There is church-wide vision that's released prophetically, but a lot of times this is to encourage someone, to edify, to build up somebody, it's kind of when somebody's down and out and you just remind them who they are. It's a combination of scripture and speaking life over somebody a lot of times. And there's a lot of times where, you know, people who are prophets, they operate in different, you know, different elements of that. Love is all encompassing in a lot of ways. There's a lot of things. There's
there's directory, there's corrective ways of loving someone. There's a lot of different elements like that with prophecy. But I believe they're very closely tied. At least for me, they're very, very, for me, they're connected. They're one and the same. But I know that some people operate in one way, but they don't operate in the other. So for me, that's kind of hard. I think that's a hard line to draw. It's very blurry, like I said. But yeah, that's the way I see it. I hope that was somewhat clear, at least a little bit.
No, that's really helpful. No, I'm looking forward to more of this discussion. Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
Good morning.
And I think Dee had something.
Good morning, nephew. Thank you so much. You know, I love these kind of shares. But think it not strange concerning the fiery trials with all the distraction, all the unmuting. I mean, it's so much going on, but we are on focus. So don't think that cough attack is upon you. See, look at that. I'm just saying. We know the devil's already defeated. But I want to say thank you, nephew, for just going into that territory because you're bold enough to teach on topics that most won't even dabble in, right? So it reminds me of my biblical counseling class. Come on, baby. In my biblical counseling class, all the tools we were given, you touched on it when you said just being mindful, you know, like me as a woman, I should never be in an intimate setting trying to minister or give a brother a word. You know what I mean? You got to be real careful. You got to use wisdom. And to also really know when it's a word for someone and it's not just a knowledge word for us. Yeah. I've been given some words, the Lord told me to tell you, and it ain't no edification, ain't no exhortation, ain't no comfort in it. It's just all doom and gloom, and it's dark and whack. So when you really spend time with God, you really can, and you're operating in love, it makes more sense. So you don't really have to kind of figure out, was that from God? Because you know it's not if it's dark. You know what I'm saying? You got to say, wait, that's not a word from God. That's a word that's in your head. Ain't no love nowhere in it. And so you don't have to affirm everything that is given to you, even though it may sound spiritual. It could be spooky stuff. So I'm just, again, grateful how you share, nephew, and I'm covering you because the attack is on. I had to laugh with you. I know why you were laughing earlier because it seems like since we started on Focus, the call has just gotten out of control. It's like, come on, y'all, really? But we know what it is, the spiritual warfare. So all the extra conversations, and I said, I sure hope nobody thought that was me. Somebody was talking about some butterfly car seats. That wasn't me. So just keep teaching because it's good and we need this. We need this because warfare don't stop and you got to be equipped and you got to be prepared for it. You cannot sleep on the enemy because he's not sleeping on us. So, nephew, thank you. I'm interceding and I love you. Thank God. I really thank God for blessing Declare Victory with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the things, obviously, if I'm being completely honest with you, every time I talk about, and honestly, I don't even know where the cough came from. I literally was not coughing at all before seven for me. But so I get it. I understand. And I expect it every time. And I think everybody that gives declarations, everybody already understands. I mean, like, I'm not even going to pretend like I'm the only one. I know that everybody experiences it. But I know the enemy just sees what's happening on Declare Victory and how much, like, wisdom we have as a team and in our declaration. I've heard the most powerful messages on Declare Victory. I'm not even exaggerating about that. This is, sometimes I'm just listening, like, wow, I can't believe, like, I can talk with this person. Like, it's crazy. But so I respect that too. But to address a couple of things you said, I think that are really important to the message too is one, it is a real thing. Like even giving this message today, even while I was speaking earlier, I was like, man, you know, it's just one of those things. There's so much division theologically in the church. There's so much division in doctrine. There's so much division. We had 33,000 different denominations in just what the Western church. I mean, that's not even considering the main three divisions of Christianity. I mean, there's some that's always on your mind. It's always going to be on your mind, like, who am I offending somebody? Is somebody just like mad at this? And you know what? I think it comes down to this. How can you not want to hear a message from God right now? How can you not want to see God move in somebody's life and build somebody up? And that's what that's the only thing that I have to hold on to, you know, because you can argue anything anyway. And I genuinely, I just don't even debate stuff anymore. Like I have like, because if someone's going to debate you on something, they don't want to see your side or your point of view on something. They just want to argue. That's all it is about. It's not about, it's not even about edifying. It's not, because if you're arguing against somebody being blessed, that already, like, you have to check your premise. You know what I mean? So, it's a tough thing. It's a hard thing. It's sometimes controversial thing, you know, a controversial topic to talk about and all that. But you know what? I don't do this call for man. You know, I don't serve man. And that has been a big theme for me lately, just in life, is that you cannot do, and I want to talk about this as it relates to focus too, and with prophecy and all these things. The reason why, because there's a fear of man sometimes that's surrounded by prophecy. And if you are a prophetic person right now and you want to grow in it and you're scared of ever getting it wrong and getting that, like I just said with teaching, we have pastors teaching bad theology every Sunday all across the country. And we don't get rid of pastoring just because there's one pastor. And likewise, there's counterfeit $100 bills all over the country right now. But I dare any one of you to go empty out your bank account and throw away all your money because there's counterfeit $100 bills. We need moves of God right now in this time in the world. And this season of the world right now, now more than ever, now more than even than ever than anything, we need signs and showings of God. We need messages. We need to adapt and translate with this ever-growing world. We need to meet this world right now. We're not in it. We're set apart, but we need to speak to it. And we need those messages right now. But the one thing I want to say is fear of man. That is a very common thing. That was a big reason why I kept my mouth shut for a long time about with prophecy and giving messages to people, is because the number one thing I feared was man. And I feared being wrong, and I feared being embarrassed. But I also fear God. You know what I mean? And I know that I need to take these things prayerfully. There's a lot of words that I get where I don't ever give it to the person. There's time, I mean, countless times. Where I'm in line at Walmart, or I'm in line at the gas station or somewhere, and there's a couple with kids and children next to me, and I just start praying for the kids, and I just start receiving so much information, and I could easily go tell the parents, you know, hey, you know, this and that, but it's not always about that. The most important thing is that a seed is planted, and I can't convey that enough. And I'm happy that you talked about that and the word of knowledge and word of wisdom and all that, because what happens is there's sometimes where a word isn't meant to be shared. A word was meant for you to intercede on. And I'm going to talk about that more with discernment of spirits next week. That's why I kind of wanted to hold back. And truthfully, I could talk about this subject all year long, but I wanted to go it down as easy as possible. But I also wanted to cover some of the things that I feel really need to be said about this subject. So, thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Is this real quick?
This is Lavina.
Oh, hey, Lavina. Yeah, go for it.
Me being a prophet, my ear is so perked up this morning because I love the discussion, first of all. And God bless you. And, yes, I was over here praying for you because I knew it was an attack. Because you have opened your mouth. Hallelujah. But, you know, and it comes with it. And so what I'm just hearing over here, the shift has taken place with the focus and the discernment and the prophecy or the prophetic, because there's word of prophecy and then there's the office of the prophet. And so in that, those two, they go hand in hand, the gift of discernment and the gift of the prophecy. They definitely walk hand in hand. They have to. But I'm excited, and I praise God for you, for what you're doing, and it's an awesome journey, and being in that, and you just touched on a whole bunch right there when you said about being places and the Lord will begin to show you and how we get a word. And a lot of people think a word is to be given. A lot of time the word is for us to pray for that person, that individual, like you just said about being in Walmart. And so every word is not to be spoken to the person, but our job is to pray for the person when the Lord begins to show it. And Dee Dee, ditto to all what you said also. So this is good. I'm excited. God bless you, Moses.
Thank you so much, Leon. excuse me. Thank you so much for sharing that. I just want to say, I know you get it. I know you understand it. And what I'm saying is I'm giving a message here, but what I'm really trying to say is so much deeper than that. What I'm trying to say through this series, through this message today, is there is one element of being a believer and spreading a message and bringing a message of light and love and hope and courage in a dark, decaying world. Okay, but what I want to speak out on top of deeper than that is exactly what you talked about right now. You got to step out into your office. You got to step out in the gift. You got to cry out to God. You got to be hungry to God to expose your gifting. You got to be hungry to God to reveal to you, what area are you? Which one are you? What are you called to be? What are you called to do? Because this is the reason why. If you have nothing to focus on like that, you don't have vision, and it's good. We all have the Great Commission, right? But we all go about the Great Commission as a different position in that company. We have a CEO already. Okay, we have a CEO. We've had a CEO since the beginning of time. But what he needs is he needs people in engineering. He needs people in sales. He needs people in logistics. He needs specific people because the company runs off of having specific people do very specific tasks that they were trained to do. And this is the thing. This is the reason why God gets glorified. As you walk into your office, as you walk into your gifting, he gets honored because everything he took you through in life, he took you through that in life so you can be a voice in that. You know, I speak to people who've gone through what I've battled with in my testimony, and I know how to speak to them because I know what my gifting is. I know where my boundaries are at. I know what I'm to do and what I'm not to do. And like I said, I'm a watchman for churches. I do prophetic watchmen. I do spiritual climates. I tell them of attacks and things coming 3 months out, 4 months. This is what they expect. This is what I see. This is what I feel free because I know that I'm not meant to be doing some other stuff. Yeah, I'm going to serve where I got to serve. And I serve in other areas. I serve on worship teams. I serve on prayer teams. I do all those things. But the area that I know that God has shaped and crafted me in, it's important for me to work in that area because that's God's glory. It's my job to reveal that to the church. Okay, but it was God's glory in shaping me to become what I am. Just like each one of you that are listening right now, God has given you a very specific skill set for a very specific time, for a very specific community to further the kingdom because we all work as one, but we're all different, but we're all on the same team, same body. So that's why I want to use this as an opportunity to encourage everybody. Step out in faith. Faith is the activation point for this gift to happen. Okay, like it took faith for me to walk to tell that lady's leader, hey, you know, I had a message for her. This faith is the activation point in this thing. It's good to be grounded. It's good to be disciplined, but faith is where we step out, and love is the purpose. So I want to encourage people in that. That is my goal. That is my aim. For people to just step out. And yeah, I know. I mean, I figured all the prophetic people just automatically knew all the noise sometimes, all the echoes and the reverb on the voice and just the coughing and you can't get it out. It's like, you know, it's a part of the territory. It comes with the territory. You know what I mean? It's going to happen. You know, like it happens in other ways. The enemy tries to prevent us in other ways. You know, I could go on all day about that stuff, but yeah, thank you for sharing that. And thank you for just operating in the office that you've been called to and in your gifting. And we need more people doing that. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for being bold in that and stepping out in that. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Sister Catherine. I don't know. I believe, you know, like you said about the three levels. Thank you because you explained everything so well that it's encouraging me to speak out and to seek the Lord to operate in my gifts. It seems as though when you are, you know, the Lord allows that to be demonstrated, sometimes you get an attack. And the attack seems to be for me is to close up my mouth and shut me down because I get a real heavy attack over me that's like to shut me down where I don't even want to speak. But anyway, I appreciate the three levels because as I got saved the Lord. And I didn't have anybody in my family, but I didn't have a mentor. The Lord just saved me. And he kept me in the Word of God. But through the scripture, now I'm learning. And just like you said, the three levels, I'm learning now to process, put things in place in those levels. And I believe God called me to a prophetic a voice. And I don't know, you know, I don't know the terminology, but I know that the way you explained it, because when I got saved, according to the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says God has these gifts that he gives, but he gives them severally as he will. So he's building specifically with, people. He's building what he wants to use us, how he wants to use us. So I remember my experience has been not knowing, just like you said, being able to, you're hearing a voice of the voice of God, actually, the Holy Spirit telling you certain things. And I remember the Lord telling me, he said, two ladies walking down the street, and he said, witness to this one. And that was the lady that was in person and everything, but that's what the Lord told me. And when the witness to her, she just held on to me so tight. And I was like, you know, and she said, you don't know. I thank God for being to me, because I was on my way to do something I'd never done before. I was on my way to go shoot up some hair run, and I've never done that before. But that was just God just using me. And I don't know, even in speaking with the lady, sometimes some come out of your mouth that you don't know. You don't know what it is. It's just God using, he's speaking through you. And that's what the Lord showed me. So, you know, all the different things. I had a vision, and what person the Lord told me to go to. Just different things. The lady had just lost her fiancé. Just things like that. The Lord had me, that vision, the Lord had me up interceding for her that night. And she had, and I had no idea.
Hold on, Catherine. Real quick, just because there are 5 million people on the phone call, you know, mm-hmm. you're going a little bit long.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing. I just wanted to catch you real quick, because there are other people that I'm sure want to share. Thank you for sharing, though. Very valuable, and I'm excited about your future. Super excited, and I'm proud of you for opening your mouth. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, Catherine, we're gonna also real quick before we go on, if everyone could just take a moment to please check their phone to make sure that they're on mute, please. And thank you. I'll go into detail in response to that, but I want to give some time for everybody to share. Was there somebody else waiting, I believe, after Catherine?
Yes, good morning. Hello, Saints, and good morning, Moses. Thank you so very much for your declaration. I do want to thank and praise God for the truth of discernment as well as the gift of prophecy. I was in the grocery store last night, and he had placed it on my heart that the cashier was sad. You can just read it through her face. And to answer Pam, I thank and praise God for the gift of discernment. I can feel it, and I can see it. I felt her, I don't know what she was going through, but I knew to give her words of encouragement. So I was thankful that God used me to go through her line and to just speak life into her. And I said, I don't know if you're going through something, but whatever you may be going through, just be encouraged and know that God loves you and this too shall pass. And she looked at me, and I didn't know if she was going to receive it or not, but I just continued doing my transaction with my money and stuff. And she looked at me and she said, thank you so much. And she said, is it that obvious? And I said, no, it's okay. You never know. God might have sent me through your line just to speak to you. And it's just amazing to be used by God and to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So I just want to thank and praise God for his gifts, such as the truth of discernment, the gift of prophecy, speaking in tongues, encouraging others, as well as the gift of healing. God bless you, Saints. And remember to uplift one another and encourage one another. We don't always need.
I think you're cut out there a little bit on the end. Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Yes, it's okay. I was muted, but praise God and have a blessed day.
Thank you very much. Real quick before I respond to those first two comments, does anybody else have anything to share real quick? Okay, cool. I'm gonna respond to those real quick. This is the thing. I want to kind of demystify this. You know what happens in this gifting. I think a lot of people are scared. I think a lot of what happens is there's not enough information. There's not enough knowledge on such a crucial, and very just a gift with so much impact. And I think what happens is we get very scared because what's happened before is, you know, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I don't want anyone to think that I'm not offended that someone told me this one time. I just use it as an example. But you know, I've always taught on this subject. I've always shared about this, and I've always encouraged and helped to equip people in this gifting in this area. And one gentleman who I served alongside, he had never told me anything until one day he was like, yeah, I just think like a lot of what you talk about is about spiritual gifting and prophecy. Like, I think it's borderline. He's like, I think it's borderline like new age, like mystical stuff. And I was just like shocked at first. I was like, what have I ever said that's not scriptural? But I didn't say that to him. I didn't challenge. I just respected that. But that just told me right there that, and the more I got to know him, the more he started growing in that gift, and I started teaching him about it. And I never said anything to him because he forgot that he said that. But I didn't need to prove a point. I don't care about proving a point. Like I said, I serve God. I don't serve man. I could care less if he still thinks that to this day. But the truth of it is that he just was not experienced in it. And I ultimately ended up being roommates with that guy. And there was times where I would get a message for him. I would get something that he didn't tell me till months later. He was like, you know, dude, I was praying for that. And then you started speaking on it, or you did something that I asked for. I'd ask God for something and then you would do it. And then I just kind of told him, I was like, I just pray and I talk to God and he gives me direction. He gives me logistics. I was like, I'm not different than you. I'm not trying to teach something that's different than you. What it is there's a lack of education on the subject. And where there's a lack of knowledge, where there's a lack of information, there is fear, because we fear what we don't know, and we fear leading people astray, and we fear getting it wrong. And that is okay. That's good, because we want to honor God. But what's not good, what's not okay, is when we sit in ignorance because we're too scared to move. And that's what I want to fight against. That's what I want to war against in this series, is I want people to feel okay. Because you know what? I experienced things in my life that I thought I was going crazy. And I promise you guys, I'm literally being 100% transparent with you right now. I legitimately would sit in my room and I would cry some days. I would cry in my room, because I thought I was going to end up in a psychiatric hospital or something, because I was seeing things. I was hearing things for people. I knew things and details about people's lives that there was no possible way. And this is why it scared me. This is why the reality of that scared me. One, there was no denying that there was a God. And two, there was this huge, immense, like, responsibility. There was this fear that people wouldn't understand me, because we live in an environment and we serve in churches in these environments where prophetic people and spiritual people can't talk. They can't step out. They can't operate in the gifting. No one's sharpening. And so then we get surprised when somebody gives a bad word. I've given bad words before. I've given words that just were not right or were not true. I've also given words that have saved people's lives, though. I've also given words that set people on their path. I've literally, to the T, absolutely to the T, to every last detail, prophesied to people what their future spouse would look like and be, and to hold on to that promise. And they met that person years later exactly to the T, as God showed me and released me to tell them. I don't tell people that stuff all the time. I don't, because we live and we operate and we serve in environments where we fear that. where we fear, and I believe that that fear is perpetuated by an enemy that doesn't want to see people walk boldly in the spiritual gifting that God has called them to walk in. And that's a hard thing for me to go to sleep at night, knowing that there's people, this is what breaks my heart more than anything, and this really breaks my heart, is that there's people out there, there's a world out there, there's a world out there that is missing the voice of God, that is missing the living, walking, breathing body of God here right through each one of us, because we're scared, or because we don't have enough information, because we don't cultivate people in their gifting, because we don't know how to. You know how many leaders have told me that they can't help me because they're like, well, you know what? I'm not gifted in your gifting. I can't do anything for you. You know how many leaders have turned me away because I told them some stuff that happened exactly the way God prophesied through me, and they don't want to deal with it. You know how many leaders have dismissed me because they don't want to be accountable, because they know that I have the discernment of spirits and they think that I'm going to judge them and I'm going to put their laundry out to dry. People don't understand the gifts. People don't understand spiritual gifts. People don't understand love. Okay. And that's what scares me. That's truly what's terrifying to me, you know, and I don't want to put anybody, I don't want to silence any voice. I don't want to put anybody down because of the way God created them to be. And you got to understand, God is spirit. There's a very, very real spirit realm that we know that is eternal. And if anything, everything we see, this phone, this call, the clothes you're wearing right now, the car you're in, the office you're sitting in, it will all pass away. And perception is everything. And if it's going to pass away, it might as well not even be there. But what is not here in front of our eyes right now is eternal. So we set our eyes on those things. But we're living in an environment, in a culture, in a society, in and out of church, that doesn't believe that, that doesn't grow people on that gifting. And that's what we're going to do this month. We're going to grow you in that gifting, and you're going to grow. I'm not going to be able to talk about every subject in 30 minutes, but we're going to release it. So I want to encourage all of you in that. And there's prophets listening to my voice right now. There's seers listening to my voice right now. There's people who operate, who God is ready to release this gift over you. And that's what I believe right now. I believe that we're entering into a new season where God is restoring spiritual gifts to the church that has denied, suppressed, and killed these gifts for thousands, hundreds of years. Okay, and I believe that right now he's ready to respond to the world. The world that says we don't send thoughts and prayers, that doesn't work. We're responding to a world that says, okay, well, we believe this. We don't believe in God anymore. We're responding. God is using the spiritual gifts to respond to a world that says, okay, well, we did away with Roman mythology and Greek mythology. Why can't we do away with Christian mythology? Why can't we answer that? Why we're going to use the spiritual gifts as a response the way Jesus did. Jesus came into an unbelieving church and synagogues, right, that didn't even believe in the miracles that were happening, as a response to his very character, to his very loving, healing, supernatural character and demeanor. And I believe that that's what God wants us to walk into. I believe he's restoring those gifts one by one. And I believe that there's people on this call that have been misunderstood. I feel that there's those of you who have had dreams of things that have come to pass, and you're freaking out. And you're kind of like me when I was in the room crying because I thought I was losing my mind. I legitimately thought I was going crazy as a practical, logistical person, very logical person. Okay. Thought I was losing my mind. So I want to encourage everybody in that, but I also still want to give some time for everybody else to also share. We got a couple more minutes, and please excuse me for the coughing. But we got a couple minutes. I want to make some time for a couple more people. I know we got other people waiting. So if you have something to share, please share. Thank you.
Hey, Moses, really quick before folks start to jump in, I just want to help everybody understand two things. The first one is, this call is designed for teaching and for training. So don't misunderstand when I say give other people an opportunity, because I'm positive that if it is your season, first and foremost, and the truth is it's always your season, the question mark goes behind whether or not you decide to focus enough to step into it, which is why we interrupted focus with activation. There is a prophetic release, but we don't want people, don't feel like you need to think about getting your whole story or put all the pieces together during the discussion. I'm saying this because this will open up opportunities for more in-depth teaching and training. And it's just an opportunity, right? So try not to try to figure it out through talking it out, just so as many people can at least open up their mouths and acknowledge, I do hear God speaking to me. I do believe it's time for me to do X, Y, or Z, right? Amen. Amen. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. That is very profound, well said. So if anybody has anything to share in response to that, please share.
Amen. It's Renee. I do believe God is speaking to me. Amen. I received the word, and I enjoyed the share this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Renee, thank you very, very much for your response and for real, in real life, for the example of obedience of exactly what it should sound like right in here. Amen. I appreciate mm-hmm. that.
Is it okay to have a question?
Absolutely. Ask a question. Please, yes.
So for me, I just want to get clarity, and I know it's also in my prayer time with God, knowing the difference between, because I like when you shared about love. Sorry, I'm walking.
It's all good.
Love for me is trying to understand the difference between the word of encouragement to a loved one versus someone you don't know. Because I know for me earlier on, it was like the holy boldness to witness is not just stirred up as much as it used to be, but just using wisdom with that. But I know it's love and just, you know, speaking the truth in love and knowing when to speak. Sorry, I'm breathing hard.
It's all good. No, I get it. Thank you for sharing that too. You know, just real quick to touch on that. Yeah, there are seasons where I remember when I first started, God was really, it was everywhere. Like I could not turn that switch off. He flipped it on. And I mean, it was on. Every night was a dream. I was dreaming of things days, weeks before they were happening and seeing the purpose of it. There were times where I could not be in the grocery store. I would literally be in the grocery store just crying for someone because I was just praying for them and I was seeing everything. I was watching a couple talk and I would see a flash of them arguing at home and I would just start praying for their marriage. There was a time where it was crazy. It was 24/7 and I was starting to get overwhelmed and then nothing. It just stopped. And what happened is God placed me in a community where they didn't do that. They weren't prophesying all the time. They weren't even raising their hands when they worshiped. Nothing. And I was like, okay, God, I was like, okay, what's going on? I thought you were going to grow me in that gifting. You started teaching me about it. What happened? And I felt God saying, yeah, I am growing you in that gifting. I'm growing you in the prophetic gifting by taking you to a disciplined community. Because if you go to some extremely spiritual environment in church, you are going to minister and they're going to value you, but you're not going to grow. The way you're going to grow your spiritual gifting is through community discipline and accountability. And I didn't understand that. And it frustrated me because I was like, let me loose. Like, come on, this is my gifting. This is who you created me to be. I see things. I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to do this and that. And he was like, you will do that. And I showed you a little example of what you were going to do in the beginning. But now what I need to teach you is discipline because I need to be able to trust you. I need to know that you're not going to just go wild, that you're not going to start to worship these manifestations, but that you're going to work. You're not going to forget. You're not going to focus so much on the message that you forget the sender. And that was important for me to hold on to with spiritual gifting. That's what I would encourage you, whether you are a prophet, whether you operate in the gift of prophecy, or whether you have randomly given prophetic words over the last 10 years, three times. Okay. You never forget the sender over the message. Never get so consumed with the manifestation that you forget who's being manifested, that you forget God in the midst of all the gifting, because it's very easy to get consumed and caught up with spiritual gifting because it is cool. Like people are drawn to it. People get like intoxicated by it. And I've had people that were jealous of the things that I was able to do, that the way God was using me. And they would just tell me that. I wasn't suspecting it. They straight up told me that. So it's important to remember to kick back sometimes and accountability. And that's why it was so important. I think what Didi was saying is that sometimes there's words that are not for right now. You know, they're not meant to be given. Sometimes they're meant to be prayed on, to be meditated on. Maybe God's using someone's situation to speak to you. Jesus and gifting to talk to you about that. So does anybody else have anything before we start? I want to release this and I want to, man, I wish we had so much more time, but we're kind of pressed for time as it is. So if anybody has any closing thoughts they'd like to share.
This is Pam, and I want to be like, want to be respectful of everybody. I just want some guidance from someone who, people who are out there who are gifted in this before, when we hang up, because conversations like this, when I hang up, and I am in prayer, I need some direction from people who are, you know, in this area, who are more gifted in it, because God keeps talking to me about it. And I mean, mm-hmm. I keep having all these examples, but I need somebody to, I need to share what's happened and, you know, figure out what to do and how to grow in this area, if that's God's will for me. So I just, sometimes I hate, like today, I don't want to hang up the phone and then, you know, I know God is the source of everything, but if there's someone who is being called to maybe help, you know, guide me. I know I'm being called into this direction, but just where to go, that just would be great. Feel free to reach out to me, Pamela Mason. I'm
Pam. You can
not
call
on Facebook
me after the call. We didn't talk yesterday. I'm not being funny or anything, but you probably should
okay.
get on Facebook. And the only reason I'm okay. saying it, listen to what I'm saying. The only reason mm-hmm. I'm saying it is there are groups that are very concentrated in teaching and training. Like, seriously,
okay.
I have groups that we don't do a lot of chit-chat. The group is centered around teaching and training about what you're talking about. The second thing is, you just joined a church home. Are they prophetic? Are the gifts operating where you go? All of them. Like, are there manifested gifting, or is somebody operating in what you're gifted in? Do you know that yet?
No, I know it's where God has me to be, and I don't know if that's why God put me there.
I was just going to say, but do you know that there's a manifestation of the gifting of the Holy Spirit and the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit? Do you know that that's happening?
No, I don't even know much about that. That's kind of like where I'm,
okay.
I'm elementary in this whole discussion
and that's,
in that
that's
part.
That's okay. We all are elementary when we first start. It's not
yeah.
foreign, nor is it strange. However, I just want to encourage you, seriously, to get connected to your place of worship in such a way that you can answer that question without guesswork, right? And so that is instruction. That's like trying to help you help yourself. So if your
mm-hmm.
church operates in those gifts,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a great place to learn physically, but you'll never know until you ask.
Okay. Can you say one more time, what was that called? The gift of, what did you say, manifestation?
No. Manifestation is just seeing, is the visible evidence of the gifts operating. So prophecy or word of knowledge or word of encouragement or word of wisdom or any of these things that Moses is talking about this morning, you'll see them happen. Like the gift that you have, you'll see it when it happens, or somebody will approach you with that same gift.
Okay, yes,
it's,
I do see that.
Yes.
That is definitely happening, definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
So this is what I want you to do. You need to get involved in your church. That's really important. You can't just go there on Sunday, and you can't just call the call. You need to start building relationships, babe. That's how it happens. Consistently. The key for you is going to be connected consistently. That's the word I hear right this second. The key for you is connection consistently. Consistent connection and focus. Those are the three elements that I just heard the Holy Spirit say. So start to build your relationship so you can grow, sweetheart. That's all.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would confirm that as well. I want to say also, point one is that is a perfect explanation of a manifestation of a spiritual gifting. Is a good, that is the best definition, and I would encourage everybody to remember that definition right now. But also consistency, that was a huge thing. So in closing, I debated on touching on this either in the message or in closing in prayer right now, but I'm going to just say it right now. So I want to just leave you with some points. If you remember anything taking away from today, remember, the point is love. The purpose is love. We operate in these giftings in love. And the truth that I would say to Pam and to everybody else is that
God won't let you miss a good thing because this is his business and God is absolutely about his business. He's not in the business of failing good works that he starts. And it doesn't mean that we don't have responsibility, but we're going to get to that. But I want to let you know that you won't miss a good thing. God will work through you and you will know. But consistency, community, accountability, these things are all crucial to cultivating that gift. Because I'm going to tell you this, you can't be a prophet and be alone in your bedroom all the time. You have to interact with people. You have to have discipline, accountability, and community, because our gifting is a culmination of the entire commandments, of the entire law, because we love God, we love others. The first three commandments are about loving God. The other seven are about loving others. We fulfill the law and love. Jesus fulfilled the law. And that's what he means when he says that it's not going to be done away with. No, you know, none of that's null all of a sudden. It's just fulfilled in love. It's fulfilled in the cross. So what we do is we're carrying on in that culture by showing honor to God by the way we honor others in community. So I highly recommend community. Like I said, the key points are this. The purpose is love. Faith is the activation point. We step out in faith to operate in our gifting. You have to step out in faith. You have to be willing to take a risk, okay? And the keys to cultivating and sharpening that gift are this. Find authors. Find people in your church that operate in this gifting. One author who is amazing, who I've been reading for years, is Graham Cook. And Lady Prophet, the prophetess, is Jennifer LeClaire. She writes really great stuff. And I know there's a ton of others. There's so many others. I'm going to have to post some resources on the Facebook group later. But I want to encourage you, you have to be responsible for that, because even in our own church, our leadership encourages us to be researching and studying our gifting. And that's a great way to do it. Like I said, Graham Cook is another one, but I'm going to post some resources on the Facebook group later. So love is the purpose. Faith is how we activate it. Community, discipline, accountability is how we protect that gifting. And I just want to just say that I know that there's a lot of questions, a lot of this, so we can post these. We didn't have enough time today, but I just want to pray a release over everybody. I want to pray an encouragement over everybody to step out in this, and that you'll have more opportunity to grow in the prophetic. And it'll happen. It'll come in due time. So I want to thank everybody for calling in today. There's so much good stuff.
Hey, before you do the activation prayer real quick, Moses, can I say this? For everyone that's on the call, the series between focus and activation, Moses will be sharing every Wednesday this month. Every Wednesday this month, go get a friend. Go grab a loved one, somebody that you know is struggling and broken and trying to figure this thing out. It's so important. There's a shift in the spirit and in the atmosphere, and God is trying to get us in position to help people prepare to build kingdom, right? So invite somebody, even if you just invite them on Wednesday, for the purpose of assisting them in growing in the faith. Amen? Amen.
Awesome, amen.
Awesome,
amen.
Share. Thank you.
Amen. And one thing I want to just real quick add to that before I pray is inviting somebody is powerful in this, because what's going to happen is when someone has an investment and a share in a company, they care about how the company does. And spiritual gifting is having an investment and a share in kingdom operations. And it could be the thing that person you're thinking about, they might be on the fringe, they might be on the border right there of really stepping into what God has called them to do. Them finding their purpose and their gifting and identifying to one of these messages might just be that missing thing, because I know that that's what it was for me. So I want to encourage you in that. And like I said, next week, if you call into anyone, I would say call into next week, because next week is, I think, one that is a lot more common than people think. I think you might be gifted in the area next week. So let's pray. And I just want you to just partner with this in your heart. I want you to just believe this in your heart as we pray, and just know that God is working. God is working now. He's not asleep. He's not tired. He didn't retire. Okay, God didn't just write a book and then he was like, all right, I'm out. You know, God is working today. If you believe for the people that you're praying for, if you believe in the people that you're ministering to, then you know and you have seen that God is alive and working today. God is working in things today. He is on the job today. He was on the job when you were asleep last night. So let's pray it out. Father, I thank you for such healthy discussion. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to grow. God, I thank you for so much collective wisdom. I thank you that we had people all over the spectrum speak today, folks that have not operated in the gifting that know they're called, folks that have operated in the gifting, and we've had prophets, and we've had leaders, and we've had people that have been doing this for decades, God, speak. And I know that every time somebody shared, they added to it, God. I know that every time somebody shared, they released that anointing, God. So I pray from that place, God. I pray from that collective wisdom. I pray from that collective mantle. And I want to speak out in this today. God, is for your prophets, Lord. Today is for your prophetic warriors. God, today is for your prophetic intercessors. God, today is for the people who are calling in today that don't even know that they have the gift. God, today is for the people who called in and hung up early because they don't think prophecy is for them or they don't care about that. God, today is for the people that don't know, God, what you're trying to show them. And I want to lift those people up today. God, and I want to release that. God, I want to pray that people are able to step out. God, that people in this community, God, that our brothers and sisters in this community, God, are able to walk forward, God, in more prophetic opportunities to speak your heart to the people around them, to speak scripture in their everyday conversation, in their interactions, God, to watch people be healed in their everyday interactions. I just thank you for this, Lord. We solidify this, God. I want to pray a covering over this gifting, God. I want to pray a protection over the minds of the prophetic people on the line today. God, I want to pray that if they're a prophet, Lord, that they continue to grow in a new dimension, that they go into a new place of communion with you. God, if somebody operates in the gift of prophecy, that they operate in a greater anointing and there's a more that's released over them, God. For the folks that operate sovereignly, Lord, I want to pray that they're able to impart that gift, that they're able to see the glory that you reveal, God, in your gifting that you give to people. God, I want to thank you for trusting us, Lord. I want to thank you for saying that there's no subject that as a people that are humble and submitted to their God cannot discover, cannot figure the puzzle out. God, I want to thank you for that. But I want to praise you that you still speak through us. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. I ask that you give us more opportunities, that you illuminate us, God, that you illuminate our eyes to the situation, Lord, and that you bring answers and revelation to the areas that we've been praying for, God, and that you say that you've given us the power to speak and to prophesy to these situations, Lord. So I thank you, Father, and we seal that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for calling in today. Call in next week, and every day, we have a lot of great stuff on Focus this month. Thank you. All right. Everyone, have a good day.
All right. Amen. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Thank you.
God bless you, everyone.
Everyone, have a blessed day. Safe, blessed day. Thank you.